You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Bernd Wiesberger wins the Shenzhen International with a dramatic playoff victory.
Glad to have that fourth win on my 200th event, and I'm just really happy with the way it has turned out obviously today.
We'll speak to the triumphant Austrian a little later in the show. Wiesberger edged out Tommy Fleetwood, who got himself into contention with a stunning final round of 9 under par 63.
Today just a few putts went in and kept it going all the way through, and it's a good time to shoot a 63.
A review of all the action from Genzong Golf Club to come. Plus, we'll look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Volvo China Open in Beijing. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined once again by my favourite sidekick, Richard Boxall. I have to say that because you're sat in front of me, Rich.
Well, you do have to say that, but I haven't seen you for... Oh, how long have I not seen you? I probably haven't seen you for a month, Robert.
Have you been pining for me?
Massively.
Yeah, I can understand. Understandable.
Massively.
Bernd Wiesberger pining for his fourth win, and it came along in China.
Yeah, it did. It rained again. That's a surprise, isn't it? I mean, it seems to always rain there at the end of the HSBC or that tournament or the Volvo China Open. Always seems to rain. But anyway, no, you know, a lot of money goes into golf out there in China. And I think... Bernd Wiesberger. I mean, he played a fantastic second shot in that playoff hole, ball well below his stance. Four wins. I thought Bernd would have had more than that by now. He's a real top 10 player. He really is.
Yes, he's four wins in 200. His 200th event was a victory, one in every 50. And I know what you're saying, because you look at him and the elements of his game.
Well, he's played well in majors.
There's
as well.
A lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Right up there. But, I, you know, you say, you know, when he wins the first time, then wins the second, you say, well, kick on and win loads more. He's incredibly consistent, and he's moved right up now to sixth on the Race to Dubai. And no, it doesn't count for Ryder Cup points and stuff like that. But, you know, when it all starts, which is, as I found out the other day, Robert, starts at the Czech Open, not at the Amiga. I didn't know that.
Well, that's why you paid the big bucks.
Correct and right.
You come up
but
with
there
all,
you, go.
You know, you listen to this show from start to finish, and eventually you will pick up some golden nuggets
you
from
will,
you.
Eventually. You what, will,
what
and
about,
that's one of them.
What about the final round for Wiesberger? Starting out, he had a three-shot lead, which might sound a lot to people at home, but really with
nothing.
18, it's not.
Three is nothing. You know, if somebody birdies the first new bogey, there's one in it. I mean, that's absolutely, you know, that's nothing in it. You know, in all the massive amount of victories I had, Robert, I can tell you that I did have a five-shot lead going to the last round.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, you can't lose from there. You can.
Well,
very easily.
The thing about the big lead is if you lose, it's the ignominy of if you do lose. Because then you're a choker.
Yeah, and you know, Tommy...
Thankfully, you weren't.
Thankfully, I wasn't.
No.
No. It's up there on the mantelpiece.
And neither was Bernd, even though he knew Fleetwood was flying, other players were playing well, Bordy, some good last-round scoring, Ross Fischer had a chance. He couldn't find birdies in those closing holes.
No.
It was a string of pars.
He didn't play. Ross hit a good drive down the last hole, and then for him, hit a wayward. It didn't look like it was too long an iron in there, 7 or 8 iron maybe. I may be wrong if he hears this, and he'll tell me exactly what club it was, but it was a wide 60 feet, I reckon, 50 feet right at the flag, and then putted woefully short with his first one and put a lot of pressure on him and couldn't roll the second one in to get into the playoff. But again, it's been a good week for Ross Fischer, finished tied third with Bordy, who was playing well in Morocco when I was out there the other week.
Yeah, that's another good course in Morocco.
That's a very good course.
Yeah, it is a good course. But Wiesberger, in a way, because it wasn't sort of, he wasn't gliding to a, you know, around in the mid-60s and an easy win, sometimes you get more from the struggle and coming out on top.
When you say you get more out of it, more satisfaction, or you get more out of it for the next week?
I think it stands you down the road in much better stead for another tough win than the cruising last round where it all went well, it was easy peasy, and you win by five. I think when you can see others coming at you and you can't find a birdie and you're just hanging in there and grinding to get it done, I think down the road somewhere where you need one shot lower to do something, that's going to help you out.
You could be right, Robert. And
you're not happy with that.
And
are you?
Another nugget coming out from you. Then that was excellent.
Well, you know, let's say you're in a major, and you dig deep, you go to the well to see what's in there. Well, now we can go to the well thinking, you know, I didn't cruise the last 11 holes because of all the pars, but I still won, and I had to go to a playoff,
which is called grinding, isn't it?
And I beat a guy who just shot 63 in Tommy Fleetwood.
That's a nice position for Tommy Fleetwood to be in. That's always, you know, shoot 63 and sit in the clubhouse. That's always quite pleasant. That
Tommy's having he's having a very good season.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah, I mean, when Abu Dhabi he won, wasn't it? I have got that right. Yes, I have.
Yeah, he's been competing both sides of the pond.
Yeah, he's been playing well everywhere.
Yeah, he's playing very well. It's amazing when he got slightly lost with his swing, changed his coach, went back to his old coach, and Since he played with me at the British Par 3 practice round.
Is that what it is? Did he ever practice round?
He has actually, Fleetwood has actually said that when he thinks back to where the good run started that he's on now, yeah. He can pinpoint it to that 9 holes that he had with me, yeah, and Jamie Spence. And the 20 quid I had to pay him.
You paid him,
yes,
20?
Yes, I had to pay him 20.
He did actually say to me, I do remember, he did say to me, how did he ever make any money on the European
Tour? Well, he was quite
of which
right.
I answered, he didn't.
He was quite right. But I tell you what, if he'd have not played that 9 holes practice after not playing for 8 months, he wouldn't have played as well as I did.
No. That's very look at you, Robert. As he readjusts his glasses.
What's in my rearview mirror? Crikey. So Fleetwood lost playoff, but he's going to be really buoyed by the fact it was a 63, a brilliant final round.
He can have no complaints, can he? I didn't realise you were throwing me a question then. I thought you were
Well,
just
I looked it around. There's
yourself.
No one else in here.
No, there isn't. But I just thought you, sometimes you chat to yourself and I think, say that to me again, Robert.
Yeah.
He's going to be what? Tommy Fleetwood?
Well, Tommy lost in the playoff, but in the end, he came from so far back, he's got to be delighted with the thrust that he had.
Well, yes, I think he's always expecting to be right up there, to be honest. Now he's got back and back into his rightful position. You often wonder, Rob, don't you? You know, when you look at Tommy Fleetwood, how he's playing now, you know, when people make all these little adjustments and all that. I mean, he was a good player beforehand. I mean, what got you to being a good player?
The trouble is, you do what you do and you have some success and then you go slightly off the boil and think, right, I've got to change it. I've got to do something.
Yeah, well, you
instead of just realising that there is always ebb and flow.
Yeah, there is.
Your trajectory might still be on the up. Even though you have a little setback, you don't have to... You know, go for wholesale changes.
But the temptation
is massive.
What I'm saying is, when you don't play anymore like we haven't for years and years,
when you come out of the bubble and
look at it, some things are quite sort of self-explanatory, aren't they?
They are.
You know, how did you get to where you were onto the European Tour, winning money, winning tournaments? I got there because when I was an amateur, I had that game and I played really, really well and everything happened and got me here. I think you're right. You might go off the boil a bit and think, I've got to change something.
The great thing to do is not to change anything.
Yes, that's it.
And just keep going what you're doing, because then, you know, it can be transitory, just a couple of poor weeks and then boom, you're back on it again.
Words are too long for me, but Faldo is the only one really who completely
went for the complete remodel
and whipped in 6 majors.
Yeah, I mean, at the time when he was making the changes and couldn't play at all, everyone was saying, well, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
In the end, he can say, hey, 6 majors.
Exactly.
But then he might have won 8 staying with what he had. You don't know, do you?
You don't, Robert, no.
Because golf is a very, very difficult game. Playoff situation, it was only 1 hole, and it was amazing second shot for Bernd Wiesberger.
Yes, people watching at home, me was one of them, but being a pro, you sort of know how difficult that shot is. His spine angle was incredible. It was at an incredible angle.
To bend over.
Yeah, and you lose your height on that, or you come up a little bit and then to start reaching for it, you get into terrible trouble. You've got to be very athletic, Robert, a little like yourself, to sort of stay in that position. And the commentators would say anywhere on the green would be fine, but he knocked it to about 6 or 7 feet.
And popped it in.
He certainly did.
He would have been absolutely, yeah, to not have it go his way on the back nine and see that he was caught.
Correct.
And then pull a birdie out of the clutches of defeat in the playoff hole.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I tell you, I did feel for him.
Yes.
George Kutsia.
Right.
Horrible. Finished with, I think it was, he finished with an 8 or a 9 down the last hole, being tied for the lead. Ended up finishing. Can I just turn this page over without making any noise? Let's see if I can. Yes, I can. He finished 12 under, 71 in the final round.
So he just topped 10.
But he was leading, Rob, going down the final hole.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how expensive.
You know, the great thing
that?
About golf is it'll happen again.
Oh, it happens every week.
You know,
there's somebody in the final 2 or 3 groups.
You have a bad run or bad
or
luck or whatever happens to you. You've got to just discard it. It'll happen again. It's just golf's difficult.
It is.
Hitting the correct shot at the correct time on the 72nd hole, it doesn't always come along.
It certainly doesn't.
But I know what you mean, because you feel sorry for him because you've now put yourself in his position and you're thinking how sick you would be if you chucked that money away.
Very.
That's where it's really coming from. It's a selfish thought on your part, really.
Golf's a selfish game.
Well, you've got to look after yourself and your golf ball, Richard.
You have, definitely. Yes, you're quite right.
Well, it was an 8 for George, as you said, Richard, in that last hole, and the pain will last a short amount of time. He can get out there and win this week, can't he?
He can do. It's just disappointment, you know, when you drop down from... You're thinking, if
tied,
I make a birdie here...
Birdie, I can nick the whole thing.
I can nick the whole thing. You just whoop it left into the water, take a drop, knock it in the water again, take another drop, knock it on, end up walking off with a quadruple bogey 8.
And then you hope that you go rigid and you wake up in the morning and it was all a dream.
Well, you hope the alarm clock goes off very suddenly, yeah.
Doesn't. That never happens.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Social media reaction then on the victory for Bernd Wiesberger. Thomas Bjorn said, no surprise to see Bernd Wiesberger winning in China. Well done, my friend. Ricardo Gouveia said, congrats to the champ Bernd Wiesberger and his caddy Shane. Well-deserved win, boys. And I'm delighted to say that the most recent winner on the European Tour is on the line right now from China, Bernd Wiesberger. Bernd, how good does that feel? Win number 4.
Yeah, hello from China. Obviously, it feels great to have gotten the 4th win under my belt, and really happy with the way things have turned out yesterday for me.
What was the last round like for you? Because you had a lead going into the final round, but you must have been aware of the round that Tommy Fleetwood was putting together.
Yeah, I've checked the leaderboards a little bit on the back nine. Obviously, I wanted to know the position I'm in, and it wasn't only Tommy who obviously played a great round of golf on Sunday. It was a lot of guys who put on the heat and put on the pressure. I just struggled a little bit with holding putts. I felt I played decent golf, but it was pretty nerve wracking down the end, and I was just glad to be able to put myself in a playoff and have a go at winning it there.
But talking about the playoff, I was obviously watching it on the TV yesterday morning at home. That second shot of yours down the right-hand side, for people watching, you just thought, oh, we'll just flip that on. But it wasn't that easy. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, I mean, having said that, I've struggled a bit with my driving. I lost it to the right, as you can imagine, and I was a bit fortunate there to get a lie at all, not being a hazard. And so I took it in a way with grace to actually have a shot at the green, and Tommy hit a good drive and put it to the heart of the green. So fortunately, I kind of had the same yardage as I had in regulation play, so we knew how the ball was going to react on the green once it hits there, and I just tried to stay down on it because of the ball was way below my feet, and it's a bit blurry from there and onwards. Everything went really, really quickly, and I just made good contact, and fortunately, the ball ended up where it did there.
Does it feel extra special when you do it in a playoff?
I would have preferred to maybe shoot 65 or 67 in regulation and wouldn't have to worry about a playoff at all. But, it wasn't easy for me. A lot of strong players came at me and played some good golf. And I really had to grind over the last 7-8 holes. It wasn't really going easily for me. So in a way, that makes it special for me to have to believe in myself over the last couple of holes, that even though I felt it wasn't easy for me to still grind it out, make pars, and give myself still an opportunity in the playoffs. So that's, I think, what makes it special for me to to come out victorious.
Bernd, you're up to 6th now on the race to Dubai. I know that doesn't count for the Ryder Cup, but surely that must be something that is at the front of your mind right now.
No, not really. We haven't even started with the qualification yet, and I think everybody who knows me knows that I enjoy playing Golf National in Paris, where we're going to have the Ryder Cup next, trying to win it back. And obviously, I'll try to play as good as I did last week over the next few months as well, and give myself a chance to be in that team. But for now, we just go week by week. But it would be awfully special for me to make that team in 2018, obviously.
What's the buzz like on tour amongst the players, Bernd, with the inauguration of the Rolex Series events this year on tour?
I think everybody's really excited to get such a big stage going and such quality events on the European Tour. I think everybody, starting with Keith Pelly and obviously all the sponsors involved, has done a really good job to give not only the top players the chance to compete in it, but throughout the tour, and give everybody kind of a possibility to qualify for it and play for those big events. And I'm definitely looking forward to play as many as I can this year as well.
That's 200 events you've played now, as you were saying, but it's 201 this week coming out. What about back-to-back wins in China? I think there'd be a fair few people having a little wager on you, Bernd.
Well, I've just browsed through the Volvo China Open booklet here, and it was quite nice to see an Austrian winner in Marcus Kree in 2007 here. So the Austrians have done well here in the past. I've played well the first 2 days, I believe, at Top Wing Golf Club. So I enjoyed the course just as much as I did last week, and definitely a bit relaxed after the result in Shenzhen. So I hope to know, somewhat play as well as it did last week and see what happens this week. So I'm still feeling confident, yeah.
It must be great, Bernd, to be playing well now coming into May and really the start of all the big events.
Yeah, it's good timing. As I said, I've played actually well over the last few weeks also in some of the World Golf events and definitely also in the Masters, but it felt a bit tougher for me to get a score on the scorecard. I started scoring a bit more than I did last week, obviously, but the game was there. I felt really comfortable on the golf course again, and it was just a matter of time for me to click and to get all the pieces together. So it's a good time, I guess, starting a lot of big events and leading into the summer, the next couple of major championships, obviously my home open at the Lioness Open. So, you know, it's definitely time to look forward to me too.
Now, going on to this week, the Volvo China Open, Bernd, what do you know or what is the chat from everybody out there about the course this week?
So we've played the course last year. I've played in it as well. A bit undulated and the greens are quite slopey. There's some holes where you don't find a lot of pin positions around, so you have to be quite accurate with your game into the greens, I think. The greens, I remember, were rolling really nicely and a good pace last year, so, and also a bit more generous off the tee, so you definitely have to sharpen up your mid and short irons into the greens to, you know, give yourself a lot of opportunities, I think, this week. And then, as it is, I think every week, if you roll the ball well on the greens, you can make some birdies here as well.
Do you like Chinese food, Bernd?
I do more now after last week, yeah. but we are treated to the great Chinese cuisine over the last couple of days already, and we're enjoying it. So everybody, I think, has a good time over here, and also with what the food has to offer.
Well, listen, Bernd, thanks for spending time in your busy week and busy schedule. Enjoy this week in China once again, and why not make it a 1-2?
Yeah, definitely going to enjoy this week again. Thanks for having me, guys. And I'm trying my best to, you know, maybe come home with 2 trophies.
Well, all the very best. I'm sure you won't be far away.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's always good to hear from Bernd, and he's always very free with his time, Richard. And we're lucky in the European Tour. There's just a lot of nice blokes out there.
There's some very, all young, all sort of around about the age of 30, all coming through. 30, wouldn't it be nice to be 30 again, Rob?
Yes, in some ways and no in other ways. I think it's a sort of mixed bag with that, really, because, you know, you wouldn't have that wealth of knowledge that you have now if you were back to being 30, would you? Be young and foolish. Now you're sort of old and foolish.
Now I'm old and even older on Friday, Rob. I'll be 56 on Friday.
56? People said it would never happen.
No, I didn't think I'd go that long.
What are you going to bring to your 56th year on the planet? What do you think you'll bring?
Planet
Boxall, what's going to happen?
What will I bring? Oh, health and happiness.
The two H's.
As Robert gets a tissue out.
The two H's.
Mopping a tear from his eye.
Let's have some stats after we get off the birthday situation with our Boxall. We're going to go to B. Wiesberger. Fourth win on the European Tour, as we said, in his 200th event. It was his first win since the Alstom Open de France win in 2015, which, of course, will be the scene for the Ryder Cup in 2018. And it continues his excellent run of form, which has seen him not miss a cut since the USPGA Championship last year, claiming 7 top 5 finishes in that time. Bearing out, Richard, exactly what you said.
Yeah, well, he's incredibly consistent. That's why I said 4 wins, yes. 4's brilliant. 4, I mean, what a good career that is. But, I mean, I thought he may have had a few more.
Well, okay.
I want to say a few, maybe a couple more.
OK, let's hear now from the man who lost out in the playoff, Tommy Fleetwood. The Englishman was 8 shots behind Wiesberger heading into the final round. So what was his mindset going into the last 18 holes?
Generally, as a goal, I just wanted to be 1 under for every 3 holes, and that was 66. If I beat that, then I thought, I'll have had a good day and it's a good week. And I just kept it going, really. And then even I wasn't really in it. Birdied 15, and I knew I had to like, have 3 birdies in the last 4 or something to win, but I didn't really, or to have a chance, and I didn't really think about it too much. And then I was just happy to go fairway bunker shot on 18. To be honest, I'm probably the worst fairway bunker player on tour, so I wasn't looking forward to that one.
Gregory Bourdie birdied the 16th and 17th, but couldn't find the extra shot to reach the playoff. The Frenchman, though, was delighted with his tied third finish.
Well, a lot of positives. My game was good all the week. I had some great drives, great putts, and I just felt confident during the week. My game is here, and I like to win again soon.
Gregory has also been playing very consistently, Richard, and he's the grandfather of French golf is probably a little too strong.
Yes,
but there's
I
a whole bunch of
that.
Young French guys that are out there, and he's comfortably in his 30s now, Gregory Bourdie.
Been there a long time. A little bit like Raphael Jacquelin.
Gregory Avray.
Gregory Avray Roberts throwing another one in there. Mm. Yeah, very good. Well, Avray was second in the US Open in 2010, wasn't he, to McDowell?
To McDowell.
Gregory Bordy, Rob.
Yeah.
Did you know it was 132nd before he played in Morocco the other week? He had played seven events and he'd missed like, I don't know, four cuts, I think it was. But all his finishes were right up there in the 40s. Much better player than that. And because of his good finishes in Morocco and out there in China, he's right up to 53rd now in the race. That's a big leap, that. It's,
like we said to Bernd, this is a great time of the year to be playing well.
It is.
Just before you get back to the European mainland and then all the big tournaments start coming, if you're on form, you can really do some damage.
Robert, what do you reckon? I know our playing days were a long time ago, but I think it stays pretty consistent. The amount of time you played really well for, I reckon... It didn't last
more
than
a run.
Yeah, I reckon it didn't last more than 6 weeks. As journeyman golfers,
you know. Yeah, I know what you mean. You keep it going. If you're on a good run, yeah, I know what you're saying. It doesn't, like I say, you can have two good patches in a year or one good patch or no patch. There's no rules and rhyme or reason to it. It's just the way it is. But you're right. Your hot period lasts for a certain amount of time and then you try and recover because you start to fall off whatever edge you were on.
Yeah, and for you and I, when we first started, we only played for 6 months.
There was a lot of edge.
It was April till September.
A lot of edge.
You didn't want to start playing well in November.
No, November playing well was no good because you had 6 months before you teed it up again.
Yeah.
After Fleetwood, Fabrizio Zanotti shot the lowest final round score. His 6-under par 65 saw him finish 14-under par and a share of fifth place. And the Paraguayan said he enjoyed playing alongside his English counterpart.
Yeah, it feels really good playing with Tommy. We both play good, and I think it was a really good round. It was a shame I couldn't make some more birdies at the end, but I'm pretty happy with the round.
Sometimes, Rich, you get out in the last two ball on the final round of a big tournament and you don't play well and your partner doesn't play well. You kind of drag each other down. The other side of that coin is, like Zanotti and Fleetwood, you both get on a run and you start feeding off each other and it goes the other way. You start playing some great stuff.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't too far off Fleetwood's score. You know, 65 he shot, 63 for Fleetwood. But Zanotti's played well this year. He won out in Malaysia. And I think he would be not flabbergasted, but I think he'd be incredibly pleased with where he is 10th on the race to Dubai. You know, and how many events has he played, Zanotti? He's only played six. He's played six events and he's up to the top 10 on the race to Dubai. It's good, that.
Yeah, and he's got that win under his belt as well. OK, the top 10, Rich, please, from the Shenzhen International.
OK, Robert, there was a tie for 8th, 9th and 10th. Alexander Levy, Torbjørn Olesen and Tongchai Jaidi, they all finished 13 under. Three players on 14 under in a tie for 5th. Zanotti, who we just heard from, David Lipsky and Dylan Fratelli, very good young South African player. And then tied 3rd was Gregory Bordy and Ross Fisher on 15 under. Tommy Fleetwood was into the playoff at 16 under alongside Bernd Wiesberger. 63 in the final round for Fleetwood. Wiesberger only a 71. But the winner eventually was Bernd Wiesberger on the first playoff hole with a birdie.
Thanks, Richard. Now, remember to go to the European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the 5 best shots of the week from the Shenzhen International, as well as other great video clips. Fancy Race Dubai tips. I went for Pablo Larrazábal, who finished 11th. In your absence, Ewan Murray went for Lee Hao Tong, an MC for Ewan.
Ah, well, we have to...
The WC had an MC. We call him WC, the Wing Commander.
Yeah.
So the WC had an MC.
Had an MC. Well, yeah. That's excellent. And you, no doubt you've told him.
Well, I after today, I'll tell him. And I should think his tipping website's going to take a sort of plunge in the wrong direction. Yeah. You'll get your go this week, Richard. You'll get your go.
Oh, I will.
Oh, you will.
Oh, my goodness. I better start thinking.
Oh, yeah. Now, in the fantasy race to the bye game, Alberto Barbera scored the most points this week. His side amassed over 1.5 million points after having Bernd Wiesberger as captain and also including Tommy Fleetwood in his lineup. Mark Hyben and his team Brocchioli still lead the overall global standings. Meanwhile, in our very own league, the Sean Ryder Cup, Race to Dubai show editor Steve Tebb scored the most points this week. Shock, horror, was it possible?
No.
It says here, it's embossed, it's highlighted. It says Steve Tebb.
Hang on a minute, that can't be right, can it?
But thankfully, listener Neil Morrison still leads the way at the top of the table. We won't hear the end of that, Rich, will we?
No, we won't.
Young Tebb.
No.
Remember, keep an eye on the EuropeanTour.com website this week for their fancy three to watch at the Volvo China Open. Top 10, Rich, in the Race to Dubai standings.
Okay. Nearly got the wrong bit of paper there, Robert. In 10th spot now, we were chatting about him earlier, Fabrizio Zanotti. Rory McIlroy now is down to 9th. Thomas Peters, 8th. Charles Schwartzel, 7th. 6th is Bernd Wiesberger. Nice leap with his win there. Ross Fisher is now in the top 5 at 5th. 4th is Justin Rose. John Rahm, who is 3rd now, off 3 events. Interesting, that. And Tommy Fleetwood is no longer at the top. He's second, and understandably, after his Masters win, Sergio Garcia is number one.
Top man, Sergio, and Masters champ, of course. Now, other news. A whole host of stars have signed up for the Golf Sixes Celebrity Pro-Am event on Friday, the 5th of May. The likes of footballer-turned-actor Vinnie Jones, horse racing legends Sir A.P. McCoy, and former England cricketers Darren Goff and Kevin Peterson will also be taking on the revolutionary six-hole circuit before the pros get the chance that weekend. For more information and for details on how you can book your place at the Centurion Club, visit www.golfsixes.com/tickets. On the European Challenge Tour, Englishman Ryan Evans sealed his maiden victory with a four-shot win over Tapio Pulkkanen at the Turkish Airlines Challenge on what was a windy final day at Gloria Golf Club in Belek. So for Challenge Tour players, Richard, when you're out in amongst the sort of, you know, the feeder tour for the main tour,
yeah,
that moment you get your first win in the Challenge Tour, it's so, so important.
You've had some wins out there, haven't you?
Yeah, I have come out on top a few times.
Yeah, but it's, you know, and I always say, Robert, I know it's not the Masters or the Open Championship, but a win is a win. You still get the same feelings. You still get that same
buzz
of trying to get it over the line.
Nothing like the buzz of winning. And on the PGA Tour, Kevin Chappell also claimed his first victory. He's been around a long, long time waiting for that win. He edged out fellow American Brooks Koepka to claim the Valero Texas Open by a single stroke. And Ian Poulter loses his PGA Tour card after missing the cut because he was on a medical, didn't make enough money at Harbour Town the week before. He finished 11th. One shot better, he would have got his card and made enough money. Then he had to go to the Valero Texas to make about $35,000, $40,000, something like that. Didn't happen. So now he's relying on invites, Rich.
Which I think he'll probably get a fair few of those.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's that, you know, if you're playing off invites, my goodness, you've got to play well.
You can't guarantee them, can you?
No, you can't guarantee them. And you can't put a run, you can't put a
Schedule together.
No, you can't say, right, let's plan the whole year out and invite. It doesn't work like that.
Okay, Rich, top 10 in the world rankings, please. We wish Ian Poulter all the very best.
We certainly do. Adam Scott is 10th. Ricky Fowler is now 9th. Justin Rose is 8th. 7th is Sergio Garcia. 6th is Henrik Stenson. Jordan Spieth is 5th. Hideki Matsuyama is 4th. 3rd is Jason Day. McIlroy is now 2nd. And still leading the way is Dustin Johnson.
Very good, Richard. Now to the Volvo China Open, second week in a row in China. And we've heard from Bernd Biesberger. He's obviously looking forward to going to the Topwind Golf and Country Club in Beijing. Hopefully the weather will be good. That's the first thing. Get that right.
Yeah.
And then interesting golf course.
It is. It's quite an undulating course. I think the fairways, from what I can remember, the fairways are a lot wider. It's a little more generous. But you can get some nasty sort of pinpoint, like little pimples on the green, you know, where the flagstick is sort of perched up on top of them.
So you think it's a second shot golf course with the wide fairways?
Do you know what we say all the time? It's very important to play the par fives well. We say that every week.
That is a fact.
But that
That's
is
a golfing fact.
You,
as a professional.
On average, you would have four par fives. If you play them well, you could look at 16 under.
Yeah.
You know, it's nowadays with the length they've got. But anyway, you know, you've got to get it on the fairway. Ooh, are you stating the obvious?
Have you played in Beijing?
No.
Have you been to Beijing? Near the Great Wall of China?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't. Okay.
So I can't answer that question.
It's a busy, very busy city.
Yes. I'd like to go. I'd like to go with you, Robert.
What, to a tournament or just, you know, a sort of an odyssey?
Not on a holiday with you, no.
Oh, I see.
Good Lord, no. Yeah. Robert, just very quickly, throwing the golf course, there are water hazards around here as well that certainly come into play.
Yeah, well, that's always important, stay out of the water. And you've looked at the field and who's playing. Rich, give us a flavour.
Well, you don't want me to make a pick yet, do you?
That no, not
yet. That is for sure. I mean, I have one in mind.
I want you to regale us with the starting
lineup.
Well,
Wiesberger, again, is playing. Lee Hao Tong is playing. Ross Fisher, Chris Wood, Jai D, Joost Lauten, Zanotti, who's now 10th on the race Dubai, to Bjorn Ollison, finding a bit of form as well, and a very good player, Dean Burmester. Keep your eye on Dean Burmester, young South African. He is going to do very well. Kiradesh Appibhamrat is also playing. Jaco van Sail, Bradley Dredge, David Lipsky. So it's a good field.
And have you sort of settled on who you think might... I mean, you were very friendly with Bernd earlier on.
I was very...
You were very sort of first person, weren't you?
Yeah.
It was almost like we, wasn't you? Like we.
Far off.
Me
we.
And you, Bernd.
You
we.
And I, Bernd, you made me. I'd like to have two guesses, but I can't. And I'll just tell you who my two were going to
be. Well, you can. We'll ignore the second one. The first one will be the one that's going to go down as your tip.
OK, my tip is going to go down as BS, which is Brandon Stone.
Yes. I thought you were going for the old biblical BS there, but you didn't.
No.
You were going Brandon Stone, weren't you?
Brandon Stone. And the other one I think you'll do quite well will be Joost Lauten.
JL.
Correct.
Why have you gone for
Brandon Stone?
No. Well, Joost is your second pick.
Joost is incredibly consistent.
Yeah.
Also another man that I think will make the Ryder Cup.
My producers just whispered in my ear, because it's your birthday and you're going to be 56,
yes,
you can have two picks.
Can I?
Yes.
How very nice of him.
So you're sticking with those. You're not twisting. You're going to go Loughton and
Stone. I'll go Loughton Stone. You must never change.
Yeah, no, never change. That's right. Because it's, to be fair, served you well, that method.
Yeah.
All these years picking winners.
And as it's my birthday, you can have one of the amateur invites.
Thank you so much.
Which one do you want?
I'm going to go with Ross Fisher.
He's not an amateur.
No, he's not an amateur, but he's obviously playing well and had a little squeak last week.
Yeah, but Robert, the players that nearly get into playoffs, they don't normally get there the next week as well, do they?
You told me never change.
Correct, you're sticking with that.
I'm sticking with Ross Fisher, and you're going to stick with your two to my one.
Yes.
Well, we'll see who comes out on top next week, shall we?
Well.
That's it for now. Next week, we will review the Volvo China Open and look ahead to the inaugural Golf Sixes event at Centurion Golf Club. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show. Please, somebody send a question. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Richard Boxall, who's gone for two players.
Only because it's my birthday.
And what are their names, Richard?
Joost Loughton and Brandon Stone.
Very good. And myself, Robert Lee, who has gone for Ross Fisher. We'll see you next week.